You've got a clear focus on what matters most. Your team seems to work well together. But then you get a call. Hey, I need to talk to you about its conflict, a disagreement, a clash of personalities. What you do next will reinforce your leadership and influence or erode your credibility. Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process. Welcome to the show. For those of you listening in real time, a quick note that our open enrollment leadership development program for this fall is still open. You're running out of time if you want to register for that, but you can find more information about that at letsgrowleaders.com. Go to services, and you'll see the 2021 open enrollment program on that drop-down menu. Group discounts available for 10 or more, but that is the same program that we do internally for organizations all over the world. And we don't run these open enrollments very often. So if you've got one or two or just yourself, people that you'd like to have the opportunity to participate in our Core Foundations Leadership Development Program, now's your opportunity. We're kicking off in September, so go ahead and get yourself registered. All right, so today we're talking about conflict, complainers. You know, team conflict can feel like quicksand and a distraction from your work, but it's also an excellent opportunity to improve morale and productivity. So early in my career, my executive vice president, his name was Jim. He was my boss. He took me to lunch at a popular spot for business meetings. For those of you who know the Denver restaurant scene, it was Racine's. It's no longer in business, unfortunately, but for many, many years, hugely popular spot for business meetings, and the dining room would be packed and bustling during the lunch hours. So apparently he had seen me struggling with a common problem that newer leaders face. It was early in my leadership career, and he chose this lunch to give me some coaching. So as we were waiting for our food to arrive, I got up to wash my hands, and he stopped me, Jim says, and gave me an assignment. He says, David, I want you to take the long way through the restaurant to and from the washroom. Walk slowly. Listen and catch the bits of conversation that you hear. So I followed the strange instructions, took the long way around, listened both ways. And when I returned to the table, Jim asked me, he said, David, of the conversations you heard, how many of them were complaining about their boss, a coworker, or a problem at work? And I thought about it for a moment and said, gosh, it had to be at least half, maybe more. And he nodded and said, and that's normal. It's human nature to complain. And you can't respond to every complaint you hear. Not every complaint needs a solution. And complaints don't necessarily mean that anything's wrong. So that was an important lesson for me as a young leader, that conflict between people is unavoidable. So since then, I learned and have discovered that there's opportunity when a team member brings you a complaint or a conflict. Depending on the circumstance, it could be an opportunity for them to grow. Maybe it's a chance for you to improve your leadership, or it's a moment to connect and build a stronger team. So how do you address team conflict productively? When you've got conflict or complaints happening between people, what do you do? Well, there are six steps that you can take to address it effectively, build healthy professional relationships, and ultimately help your team maintain their focus on what matters most. The first thing you want to do is reflect to connect. So when a team member comes to you with a frustration, complaint, problem, the most effective thing you can do to build a productive conversation is to start by acknowledging their emotion. When they know that you've heard them, it diffuses some of the intensity and it builds a connection that allows you to move on to other constructive steps. So this process of acknowledging emotion is what I call reflect to connect, because you're reflecting the emotion that you observed and making sure that you understand what's on their mind. It's an emotional check for understanding. And it looks like this. Hey, it sounds like you're really frustrated with the lack of response from marketing, and that's sapping your motivation. Do I have that right? A note here, you're not telling them that their feelings are right or wrong. When you reflect, you're just checking for understanding, create a common starting place for the conversation. This is how they're feeling. You're checking. This is how what I'm picking up. Do I have this right? Second thing you want to do is to gather information specifically using three quick questions. Once you've acknowledged their feelings, your next step is to get more information. your actions going forward are going to depend on the specific circumstances and what's happening. So you really want to know the facts. And there are three questions that you can use to get there. Question number one, what do you want me to know? And you might recognize this from several episodes back. We learned this question from trial attorney Heather Hansen. It's a fantastic question to help draw out what is most meaningful to the person who brought you the issue. What's actually on their mind? The next question is, how might I help here? And the power of this question is that it quickly reveals whether the other person just wants to blow off steam or if they have a problem. It also gives you insight into how they perceive the problem. And then the third question is, should the three or more of us talk together? So this question is particularly helpful in those situations where you suspect the person might be focused on something other than wanting to solve the problem, like undermining a colleague or currying favor, all kinds of different motivations and reasons people bring issues. But for people who complain and want to dump their problems on you, this helps maintain mutual responsibility. All right, so you've asked those three questions. It's time for step three, which is to diagnose the situation. Is this a vent or is it a problem that needs to be solved? Once you ask those three questions, you'll likely have enough information to diagnose what's going on. So here are some of the more common types of team conflicts to be on the lookout for. So it could be the person just needs to vent and get frustration off their chest. Maybe there's a misunderstanding between two or more people. Maybe one person or one party is unresponsive or sees their priorities differently. Maybe you've got people who are working towards different goals. It could be that you have a style or a personality conflict. Or you might discover a toxic behavior that's happening. Those are just six of the more common types of scenarios that you might uncover as you're diagnosing what's actually going on. But you want to have a clear definition for yourself of, okay, this is what's happening. Because step four, if you are looking at a problem, you need to discuss it and choose an appropriate solution. If the person doesn't need any action and they just needed to blow off steam, your reflect to connect is likely going to be all they need to get back to work. They feel heard, like, thanks for listening. All right, I'm good. For actual problems, though, the solution is going to depend on the specific situation. So let's take a look at a few examples. So if you identify a misunderstanding, equipping the person to have the discussion and clarify what's happening might be appropriate. Maybe you're going to give them those tools. Sometimes you'll find that you've caused the problem. Perhaps your statement of goals is unclear. You didn't mind the MIT for your team as well as you thought you had. Maybe you didn't clarify how values should resolve when they're in conflict. So in these cases, your best path forward is get everybody together, convene the interested parties, and give them the clarity they need. Take responsibility. Hey, listen, I realize I have not communicated as clearly as I might have hoped. Let's do that now. If it's a situation where maybe you have the person has unresponsive peers, or there's personality or style conflicts or other situations where a discussion could help, you might want to bring the people together and discuss the situation, come to a mutual understanding of the way forward. And depending on the scenario, that may be you even might want some facilitated help or a moderator or somebody from human resources to help. Depends on the circumstance and how comfortable and confident you feel in your ability to help people navigate those things. If you discover that there is a toxic or abusive behavior, time to formally intervene, right? So it's get your HR team involved and address that. Once you become aware of those, you don't want to let them linger. Make sure that you've got your facts straight and that you're not going off just on one person's opinion. Really do your homework, but if it's there, deal with it. And then step five, schedule the finish. As in so many of the leadership management activities that we're doing, you got to schedule the finish. Whatever the next steps you and the people that are involved agree on, be sure to schedule a time in the future where you'll all review what happened and ensure that everyone followed through on their commitments and responsibilities. Scheduling the finish like that, getting it on everybody's calendar, ensures you won't repeatedly have to revisit this same conflict or set of complaints. And then our sixth step here is a bonus step. And this is one that yields great dividends over time, and that is equip your team to resolve conflict together. This is one of the most effective ways you can help your team resolve conflict. Give them the tools to have meaningful conversations with one another and the expectation that they will use them. The highest performing teams aren't shying away from conflict. They have conflict all the time. They embrace it. They understand that every disagreement's an opportunity to build relationships and improve results. And that the conflicts aren't about them, they're about natural things, human things, and we're going to focus in on the work. One of the most important tools you can give people to build this skill is the Inspire method for tough conversations that I've shared with you in many episodes in the past. You can go back and look for those, or you can do a quick search on our website. You'll find that. Inspire, I-N-S-P-I-R-E. It's a balanced approach to help your team members build their relationships while achieving results. And for those situations where they can't resolve the issue because the problem is a lack of clarity at a higher level, having these discussions will help them figure out and come to you with a requested solution rather than just a vague complaint. So they'll be able to talk about it and say, hey, David, we realized that as we were talking and we were having some frustration around conflicting priorities here, we're operating from two different playbooks. And so if you could help us resolve these, that would be helpful for both of us.
Hey, this is Nora, and I have a question.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie, and I'm calling in from Maine. My question is about...
Hey, David. This is Julian from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
This is John from Colorado Springs.
This is Johan White from Kingston. I have a question for you.
This is Cynthia from Baltimore.
Hi, David. This is Susan from New Jersey, and my question is...
Hi, David. This is Dean from Denver.
I would love your advice on this.
Today, we've got a follow-up question on our episode with Juliet Funt regarding a minute to think and creating the white space in our calendars and those pauses that we need. And before we answer that question, though, love to answer your leadership and management-related questions. You can send those to me at david.dye@letsgrowleaders.com. That's Dye, D-Y-E. Or you can go to leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com, and you'll find a big orange button there that you can record your question. Love to answer yours in a future episode. So today's question, there were a couple of different follow-ups came out of the conversation with Juliet. And if you haven't listened to that episode, fantastic. A Minute to Think, talking about creating white space and the reasons to build pause and unscheduled time into our schedules, into our calendars, particularly as leaders. We're going to be more effective when we do that. And several of the follow-up conversations or questions that came from that episode involved what I'm going to describe as people feeling like victims of other people's urgency or overscheduling. You know, and so that might take the look of, hey, David, I hear what you're saying, but you know, I'm having all these meetings scheduled and they're just back to back and they're overlapping, and how I'm not scheduling them. What do I do? And this is a common complaint, common issue. And what I will tell you is two things from my own experience. One is that no one can solve this problem but you. And two is that one of the concepts Juliet talked about is something that when I have had this happening for me, I know that I am frequently a victim of my own hallucinated urgency. That's the term that she used. And what we're talking about here is those of us who are very achievement-oriented and want to be successful and check all the boxes and make sure we're taking care of all the responsibilities, assignments, everything that we're given, we can feel the need to follow up and get things done that are other people's priorities. And we don't have to. And this is a liberating thing that you will find that if this is something that you struggle with, is to talk to people. And I started to do this in my career and it made a tremendous difference. So I'll just give you a practical example. I had a boss who would schedule these long meetings that were ridiculous. They were a waste of time, ultimately, without getting into all the details. They weren't productive and they were really focused on him. And they were interfering with my team's ability to do our core functions. I mean, we could not get our work done the way we needed to and meet other deadlines because of this guy's meetings. So I finally said, all right, this has to stop. The way that I did it was I went to him and said, hey, listen, I want to be respectful, so I'm letting you know ahead of time, but our team is not going to be able to achieve the outcomes that you have identified, that these are the critical things. I want to make sure I'm on the same page, right? We're still on the same page. These three things have to happen, right? I'm pretty sure that that's what you think success looks like. It's what I think success looks like. Are we on the same page? He said, yeah, absolutely. I said, great. So here's the thing. That 2.5 hour meeting, we can attend, but we can only be there for the first 60 minutes. There's no way for us to get to where we need to be and do the things we need to do if we don't leave at the top of the hour. I said, so going forward, what I'm going to do is I'll just give the team a signal and we'll wait, you know, we'll try to time it to a break in the conversation so we're not just up and leaving in the middle, but as close to the top of the hour as we can, we're going to need to sneak out. And I just put it out there. And his response was funny. He said, oh, well, okay. You know, and he dealt with it. But if I waited for him to solve my problem, I'd still be waiting 30 years later. You know, it would never have got solved. So you can take responsibility and start to carve out your own reality. Do it respectfully. Do it in a goal-centered way that says, hey, this is the goal. This is what success looks like, right? All right, here's what I'm proposing. And have a solution that clearly leads to the result. And maybe that's going to be a conversation between a group of you about how you're scheduling or, you know, leaving off 10 minutes or when you accept an invite to say, hey, happy to be there and contribute what I can, and I can only be there for 20 minutes. So, you know, that will help people who maybe don't feel that same urgency or value of time or aren't creating the white space for themselves to leverage your value, leverage your input at anything you're going to contribute in that time. You know, so that's one suggestion. There are others. There are sending other people. There are lots of different ways that you can start to navigate this, but it does require you to kind of own it and say, you know, I got to recognize no one's going to solve this problem for me. I am the only one who can. So let me identify 2, 3, 4 things I can start doing and start working on those. They're not all going to come off perfectly. They're not all going to work all the time. But as Juliet said, if you can start introducing those wedges, you're going to help yourself and start getting some of that under control. And what I found in my own career was as I did that, other people started doing it too. Other people started recognizing, oh, that's possible. Yeah, that would be really helpful. And we all became more productive. So for those who asked those questions, thank you so much. And I will look forward to answering your leadership management question in a future episode. All right, so today talking about team conflict, it can be productive. Those complaints are opportunities. It shouldn't consume you with other people's drama, but you can energize your people and maintain productivity when you acknowledge their emotions. Ask a few key questions, create that appropriate path forward, and follow up, schedule that finish to ensure everyone followed through. Leverage those complaints, those opportunities, those moments that conflict provide, and you're on your way to being the leader you'd want your boss to be.
The UPS store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS store, your items arrive on time or your money back. Guaranteed at no extra cost. Exclusively at the UPS store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.